Mates, I managed to catch a little bit of the episode where you'd figured out you needed new boots before you started.
Yeah, it was funny. I was just talking to a friend on social media about it, and he goes, "Oh, mate, you should have let me know. I could have got you cheaper." And it's like, I was 100% confident that those boots were well worn in. I've used them on Kokoda treks. I know my boots. They fitted beautifully, and I didn't want to compromise that beautiful fit of the boot. And so I thought, who's the best boot repair person in Australia? And I sent them Victoria to get them done. And they came back and they looked perfect. They felt perfect. I dubbed them all up. And no, just that environment decided it was going to be different and peeled it away. But they were good up until that stage. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Look, honestly, last year, because I am an absolute fangirl of this show, and last year, so down in Tassie, which is where you're from growing up, and there was no food and they were literally starved out. Then when they set you up in New Zealand this season, I thought, oh, they're going to be able to hunt, they're going to be able to catch food, but it's not as easy as it looks, is it?
It's not. And understandably, it's an even playing field. They've chosen New Zealand for multiple reasons, but it's also chosen at a time of the year when, even if there is a lot of food, it doesn't mean that it's prevalent in your area, nor is it necessarily easy to catch, or nor is it unprotected. There's protected species there as well. So it's an even playing field, but it is something that requires ethics and morals about what you do and don't
You're
take,
allowed to
because
take it.
it's all around you.
And the latest episode that dropped showed you in a very hungry place. We haven't seen you eat yet. How many days in before you start to eat that magnificent beard?
Look, I won't give everything
I
away,
don't.
but I had told myself that I didn't intend eating for the first week.
Yes, you said
I
that.
wanted ketosis to eventuate, to have it understand I had other more important tasks to do. And I honestly didn't feel that hungry up to the week period. I think my mind was pretty active with other things. And
Now,
I'd check in occasionally, but I'm going, I'm surprisingly not that hungry.
you spoke about your wife and your boys, and it was your wife's birthday while you're away, and you speak really beautifully about your family. But I'm just wondering, what was worse, the loneliness or those bloody midges?
The midges, I think it catches everybody by surprise. You know they're going to be there, but you think you're going to have periods of time when they're there and you'll get time without them, but it's not really the case. When you
They're
go to sleep,
bad.
they're not there, but that's as soon as you warm up, the itching starts and it's like an obsession. You just can't stop your fingernails from scratching and then
Because
you get infected and it complicates. But
this is
yeah.
it. Midges bite you and they don't always sting straight away, does it? Like it comes on later.
Yeah, the itch definitely comes on when you're warm. So if you're in your sleeping bag and you're warm and you're falling to sleep, that's when you just find yourself starting to scratch and you can't stop it. Once you start, it's
You're
ridiculous.
making
I hope
me
you can
itchy.
feel it.
I'm itchy. I'm itchy.
Yeah.
Hey, now before we let you go, we just want to ask you a little bit about your childhood because you were the son of a lighthouse keeper in Tasmania, but when you were pretty young, you ended up in foster care.
Interesting journey, I guess, and it's hard to ever pull that apart without having key people there to speak about it, which they're not here anymore, mum and dad, you know. But dad was a lighthouse keeper on Tasman Island, which sits just off the southeast coast of Tassie. We grew up on there. I was think of five when we left. Rugged sea cliffs. It's like every bit an epic island you'd expect it to be. But returned there last March, actually, year before, to do some volunteer work. So I've got to return to the island 55 years after we left it, and it hasn't changed. But then we moved to the west coast of Tassie, and that's when the wheels fell off the family cart. Dad had taken off for his own reasons, and mum was left to look after the six children. And it just became too much for her, and I think her social support was taken to alcohol to calm her pain and doing the best she could as a mum, absolutely.
So
But it wasn't enough,
in
and the
foster
welfare stepped in.
in foster care, is that when you became a wild kid, like a kid that was hunting and spending all their time outdoors?
A little bit of somewhere in between. I had numerous foster homes, some dubious. Won't go there, but the grounding part of being out in nature and on farms and things like that allowed me to be completely comfortable in the outdoor environment and then nurturing small plants through to maturity and that, and seeing seeds and propagating and cultivating. That was really what saved me, I think, and being in the bush for sure.
All right, now Caroline and I, pretty hopeless. I did a stint in Scouts, but they asked me not to come back after a couple of months. what is Caroline and I? We're lost. Let's just call it Australia. We're lost in the bush. We're stuck. We've got nothing. What are we looking for first?
Yeah, cool. A lot of people's go-to will be food. They'll be thinking, what can we eat? Forget about it. It's not going to be relevant. So I don't spend a lot of time teaching that. But water, shelter, fire, food, and rescue. Rescue can come up the top as get something out where you're going to be seen for a start, then start looking at what you actually need, which will be making sure you've got a water supply and getting some form of shelter over you. Shelter can be protection, might be protection from the mosquitoes and things. What can you do to help protect that? Which might mean getting a fire going to make it smoke a bit to protect yourself. But water and shelter, then pretty closely fire. That comfort of a nighttime in the dark will have a lot more reassurance if you can be sitting around a fire at least.
Then how long is it before I actually have to murder Caroline and eat her for my sustenance? How many
I think Caroline's safe.
Yeah, that's right, because I can find. You also, here on the Sunshine Coast, you run parent-child familiarisation with the bush sort of services or camps, don't you?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to give it an actual title, isn't
it?
I think I call it sort of bushcraft and survival awareness for sure. And it's all about, I suppose, getting families, and you know, I do a bit of corporate on that as well, but getting families out in the bush. And once they really start to love the bush and they drop their fear factor that everything around them is going to bite them and kill them, it's just not the case. Once they love that environment, they're more likely to protect it. And then when we have different environmental issues come up, people are aware of it and they want to protect that country that they really appreciate. And it's like, oh, it gets in my under my skin when I see what's happening in Tasmania with the old growth forest down there and the logging. It just seems ludicrous that at this day and age we're stripping old growth forests. And it's like, if I'm not here, I'm going to be down there on a protest line. It's just ridiculous that this mentality of government at the moment can allow that to happen at the state it does. We've got to learn to love our environment, grow in it, appreciate it, and then start protecting it.
And once all it's over gone, Australia. It's gone. It's not coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Preaching to the converted. It's, yeah, it gets under my skin.
And you should always remember to buy new boots.
New boots.
Okay, new boots, mate. New boots.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. There might be some company out there. That...
Hey, I'm getting new boots before you are. Hey, Rick,
yeah,
this is such an interesting TV show. I can't believe that it's captured a million Australians. Like, people want to talk about some of these reality shows that are all, oh, this is awful and it's bad and it's this. But here, this show is just that noble spirit of surviving in the bush, which I think we can all relate to. We've all had that thought where it's like, what would I do?
Do you know what blows me away about this show? Everyone goes in so confident. I can do this. I'm going to be here for 100 days. I've got my head worked out. I've got my gear worked out, la, la, la. And you just watch these really skilled survivalists fall apart in days. It blows my mind. But I personally would have used the sat phone before the boat was out of sight.
Yes.
That first midgy boat, I'd be like, come go and get me, please.
Yeah. First midgy boat?
First midgy boat.
God.
I'm sure you would have tied a rope to the back of the boat just in case you had to hold on to it. Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Rick, we know you can't tell us how long you survive. But, mate, we're proud of you. What a magnificent effort. And, mate, we can't wait to meet you in the flesh as well, buddy. So when you can, make sure you join
us. Lovely. Let's catch up for a coffee sometime. We're only just up the road.
You're a champ, Rick. That's it, mate. That's all
That's
we need.
That's great. That was just lovely. Thank you so much. Honestly, I'm loving watching you on the show. And,
Thank you.
I'd love to meet you one day. So we'll have to make that happen.
We'll hold you to that, mate.
I've got to head up your way and give some blood shortly. So when I'm up there, I'll let you know and we'll see if we can't catch up for a coffee or something.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Buddy.
We'll show you around the radio station, make your coffee. It'll be good fun.
And I'm guessing too, you know, win, lose or draw, we'll follow up with another chat on air, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just an incredible experience. I think everybody will come away with just, if you don't take these opportunities when they present, you get to the end of your life and you think, I really should have given that a crack.
Hey,
scared the shit out of me, but I should have given it a crack. And on the other side of it is just an amazing feeling of appreciation for that.
Can you
opportunity to arise.
Rattle off.
Do your... it again in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Can you rattle off your 10 things for me? What you took?
Can I rattle off your 10 things?
Like, yeah, like what did you take?
So
you
10
like,
items.
So yes. Tarp?
I'll probably get a bit out of secrets. So yeah. I won't give you all the... I think I went with four blades what I call cutting edge tools, which is a little different from other people. Yep. There is no one perfect survival knife. This one won't cut down a tree and this one can't whittle, you know, the big saw can't whittle small things. Yep. So you really need a multiple. So I took four cutting edge tools. A Leatherman, a bush knife, a folding saw, and a small hatchet.
Yep.
That and a cooking pot, I reckon, are right up there with, and the shelter held up really nice. So, Okay. Good cooking pot.
Tarp.
To be able to dry material out of a night time to get a fire going the next day, all that preparation. If you don't get in early and prepare for the next day when it comes to fire lighting, you come unstuck pretty quick.
So then tarp, rope, flint?
Yeah, the tarp was part of the package.
Oh, okay. That's not in
I wanted everybody to start with the same tarp. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering about that.
Flint. Yeah, definitely a flint.
And in all
pretty
of that,
major.
In all of that, no one took any zip ties. Come on, zip ties.
Yeah, that's right. Or clothes pegs. Yeah, yeah.
That's
paper clips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or McDonald's.
Hey, you're just being silly now.
Hey, Rick, thank you.
Lovely. Catch up again soon, guys.